Crying Under the Christmas Tree by 42 Do Not Panic, read by Coprime, rating mature, archive warning, no archive warnings apply, fandom, Daredevil TV, relationships, Matt Murdock and Foggy Nelson, and past Matt Murdock / Electra Nachios. Additional tags, heartbreak, drinking, Christmas Eve, Christmas decorations, Christmas tree, past Matt Murdock / Electra Nachios, cheating, rage, crying, trauma, childhood trauma, alone on Christmas, Foggy Nelson has patience, protective Foggy Nelson, Matt Murdock needs a hug, Matt Murdock and Foggy Nelson friendship, college, pain, emotional hurt comfort, and angst and feels. Summary, Matt is alone on Christmas Eve, again. Matt Murdock was alone, again. It was Christmas Eve and he was alone. Foggy was with his family. He had left late in the morning so he could join them for lunch and help with the last preparations before everyone went to church together in the afternoon. He had invited Matt, but at that time he had still been planning to spend Christmas with her. They had been talking about it for weeks, even before Advent started. They wanted to meet in the afternoon, do some last-minute prep and decorating, and then spend a cozy evening together. She had even agreed to go to Midnight Mass with him, and they had decided to start making their own traditions for Christmas. Sure, it had been early in their relationship, but Matt knew he loved her. And even if they wouldn't spend all their lives together, Christmas was about the here and now, just as much as it was about the future and past. He had read the Christmas Carol often enough to understand that. But now Matt was alone. It was Christmas Eve, and he was alone again. The tree Foggy had so lovingly decorated over the past week lay on the floor, needles strewn all over the small apartment they shared, and the baubles broken on the ground. He had ripped down the decorations and fairy lights all over the apartment as well. The only thing still hanging on the wall was his stocking. Anna, Foggy's mother, had made it for him the year before, and it was his first real stocking since he had been a young boy. He just couldn't risk damaging it, no matter how painful it was to know that it hung alone. Electra had kept her promise. She had come to their apartment with a few wrapped gifts, a bottle of his favorite whiskey, and a bag of nice clothes in hand. But she had brought something else. The smell of another clung to her. It reeked from her skin, her hair, and her lips. He could taste it in the air around her and in their kisses. It wasn't the first time it happened. She had always loved to flirt, and honestly, so did Matt. They both loved the attention and the easy gentleness of flirting at bars, slightly drunk, and maybe even getting a drink or two for free out of it. But that was it. That was the agreement. And they both made good use of it, letting themselves and each other get riled up in bars and fancy parties before coming home to each other's apartment and enjoying the bodies that were reserved for them. This time, it was different. This was more than gentle touches to get her attention. Matt could smell the kisses, and worse, the sex on her. He could taste someone else's lips on hers, even before they fully connected in a quick kiss in place of a greeting. Matt had pulled back and confronted her about it even before asking her into his home. And she had easily admitted it and played it down like it meant nothing. But to him, it meant everything. It wasn't just the broken promise, it was the broken trust. It was being dropped and left behind. Again. It was being second choice. Again. It was being alone on Christmas Eve. Again. Matt had taken the bottle from her and closed and locked the door in her face without another word. She wasn't worth hearing how much the broken trust hurt and how much he had wanted to spend Christmas with her. She wasn't worth his tears either, but Matt couldn't help it. He had been left behind too often in his life for it to just go past him without ripping his heart out and breaking it into a thousand pieces. But even if Matt couldn't stop himself from crying, he at least had enough dignity left not to give her the satisfaction of doing it in front of her. So instead, he had closed the door in her face. She hadn't tried to be let in. She hadn't tried to explain or give meaningless excuses. Electra had just left. and Matt had followed her heartbeat down the stairs and out onto the street until it was drowned out by the engine of her car. He had put the whiskey into the freezer, grabbed a bottle of white wine from the fridge instead, and finished it within 30 minutes. By the time the bottle was empty and his head was throbbing, both with the alcohol rapidly intoxicating him and the tears streaming down his face and dripping onto the cheap couch Foggy had found in the street shortly after they had moved in. He had insisted he had bought it secondhand, but Matt knew he was lying about it. He just couldn't tell him that without revealing his biggest secret. Matt had thrown the bottle against the wall where it had shattered on impact, the shards flying all across the small living room. It felt nice, laying his anger and pain out, the glass cracking and hailing down all over the perfect Christmas scene, as Foggy had described it earlier, was satisfying, and using his anger as fuel for his muscles felt more productive than just sulking and getting drunk on the shitty, smelly couch. Matt had started with some of the smaller pieces, cheap figurines and plastic baubles Foggy wouldn't miss or even notice they were gone. They didn't shatter quite as nicely as the bottle, but it worked. It let out some of the rage he felt towards Elektra and the hate for the season he was starting to feel now. Matt had always loved Christmas as a kid. His dad had never been able to get him as many presents as some of the other kids at school got, but he had always found a way to make it special, and that was what it was about after all. Once Matt was in the orphanage, that changed. He still didn't get much, but now, with so many kids and such overworked nuns, it wasn't even special anymore. Last year, when he was invited to the Nelson family Christmas celebrations for the first time, it was special. Anna and all the Nelsons had made sure he had a good time. They included him in the traditions. He had gotten his very own Christmas sweater, a place at the table for the big Christmas dinner, and his own stocking over the already crowded fireplace in the big yet cozy living room. It hurt even more now that he had given up on the chance to be with her, and that she had chosen someone else, someone she'd probably never even see again. Matt was hurt and angry. He hated Christmas. He hated being alone when he could hear everyone around him having a good time with their family, getting ready to go to the afternoon service, having dinner together and watching movies. He hated being everyone's second choice. He hated never being the one they thought about first. Matt hated losing people, things, and traditions. He hated that he had lost his sight in a stupid accident. He hated that his dad had to die over a petty decision. He hated that he had lost his home and almost everything that meant anything to him. He hated that Stick had left him behind, even if the only thing he wanted had been to make Matt a fighter. He hated that everyone he got even remotely close to as a child ended up finding a family and a home, while he had been stuck at St. Agnes, just a poor blind boy that was more trouble than he was worth. He hated that Elektra had dropped and replaced him the minute she found something else, something more interesting or just something new and exciting. He hated that he had given up his chance to spend Christmas with a family that, for the first time in his life, actually wanted him there. He hated that he had given up on that for her. He hated that he was alone on Christmas Eve. Again. By the time Matt had thrown and broken all the cheap trinkets his roommate had put up all around the apartment, he had drained almost half the bottle Elektra had brought, and his anger was only growing. For a moment, he stopped, letting his senses wander over the apartment and the mess he was making. A small part of him wanted to stop, now that he still had a chance that Foggy wouldn't kick him out as soon as he came home to the mess the day after Christmas Day. But the bigger part of him knew that it was already too late for that, and that part didn't care too much either. It would happen sooner or later. At least this time, it would only hurt once, since everyone who meant something to him would walk out of his life at the same time. He threw over the tree next. Most of the glass balls, stars, Santa Clauses, and the heavy and ornamented star at the top fell onto the worn wooden floor, breaking into pieces and scattering shards all over. It was loud, and Matt's headache only grew worse. But at least that way, the pain was real. Something he could explain instead of just the pain of a broken heart all over again. Matt continued. He ripped fairy lights he couldn't appreciate, mistletoes that had made him sneeze for a week, and holly that made his fingers bleed off the walls and every shelf in the apartment, throwing them into the corner with the broken tree and screaming his frustration into the silent night. It felt good in a way, a very painful way. Why celebrate Christmas if he ends up alone, left behind and forgotten anyway? By the time Christmas Eve was fading into the night, Matt had drained the second bottle. He was sitting on the floor in the middle of the disaster, leaning against the door of his bedroom. The last sip didn't burn his throat anymore. He was too drunk for that. But burned in his chest the same way it had to close the door after Electra. At the thought of that moment, Matt threw her bottle at her. Just that she wasn't there anymore. She was probably already in the next man's bed, lulling him in with all the same lies she had told Matt. And all he was left with was the hollow bang and the clear crash as the bottle first hit the door and then broke on the floor. He sat, almost motionless, for God knows how long, until the talking clock on his desk sounded with an alarm at 11:15 p.m. It was time to get ready for midnight mass. But Matt didn't care anymore. He didn't want to go to church anymore. Maybe he had never really cared in the first place. Maybe it was only because he was in the orphanage that belonged to the church. He didn't know. He only knew that he wouldn't go. Instead, he picked the last intact bottle off the floor, throwing it at the clock so it was pushed off the table and fell silent with one last shrieking feedback. Matt let his head fall back against the wood of the door, and he noticed the tears streaming down his face. If he was crying again or if he had never stopped, he didn't know. But either way, he didn't know how to stop it. Matt must have fallen asleep there in the doorframe, rolled into a ball of pity next to the ruined tree and the glass all around him, but he was startled awake when a strong but gentle hand touched his shoulder. The alcohol, tears, and sleep made it hard to focus on the world around him, and he instinctively took a defensive position, ready to fight everyone and everything. But the person wasn't there to hurt him. Quite the opposite, actually. Hey, it's okay, it's me. It's Foggy. The familiar voice of his roommate already made a world of difference to the way Matt felt, even if it was laced with worry, and Matt didn't know what he was doing at home in the first place. Shh, come here, it's gonna be okay, he promised. I have no idea what happened, but it's gonna be okay. Matt lowered his fist, curling up in the warmth and the familiar scent of Foggy. He was crying again, and the entire world was spinning. But there was Foggy, safe and steady, holding him in the middle of the mess he had made of the lovingly decorated apartment, the carefully picked tree, and the specially bought ornaments. Foggy held him, gently stroking his back and letting him cry until Matt didn't have any more tears to spill and Foggy's best shirt was soaked. He waited patiently until Matt sat up on his own again, unable to face him, even if he wouldn't be able to see him anyway. What happened? Foggy asked quietly. He didn't ask why the apartment was trashed. He didn't yell. He didn't even mention it. He just wanted to know why Matt was feeling the way he probably looked. Like shit. Electra? Matt sniffled. His voice was rough, and the sound of it hurt his head more than Foggy's head. She cheated on me. She dropped me. Oh, buddy. Foggy sighed, pulling him into an embrace again. I'm so sorry. You hated her, Matt scoffed, crying tearlessly again. But you loved her, Foggy said, brushing a strand of hair from his face. That's what matters. It took a moment until Matt could choke out the question he was scared to ask, but that was burning on his tongue all the same. Why are you here? Foggy chuckled embarrassedly and blushed. I went to your church for Mass. If I don't get to spend the holidays with you this year, at least I wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas. When you weren't there, I decided to come by, so at least I could see you for a moment. Me? Matt asked weakly, turning to face Foggy this time. Yes, of course you, Foggy laughed fondly. You little idiot. For another long minute, Foggy held Matt, safe and warm, still stroking his back calmly and humming quietly. I'm sorry, Matt muttered when he found his voice again. Foggy didn't answer at first. Instead, he looked over the room, sighing as he assessed the damage. "Don't worry about it," he said in the end. "It's not important." He pushed Matt to sit up on his own, but he didn't get up or move away. "It's gonna be a bitch to clean up, but we can worry about that after Christmas." He carefully took Matt's still bloody hand and inspected the cuts of glass and holly as he continued to speak. "Now we first get you to my parents' place, get some food and water in you, and find a nice and warm bed for you to sober up in, and tomorrow morning the world will already look a little better." "But it's Christmas," Matt muttered, pulling his hand away and using his sleeve to swipe at his running nose. "Yes, exactly." Foggy rested his hand on Matt's knee. "It's Christmas. No one should have to be alone and sad. And as I told you last year, you're my friend. There will always be room for you in the Nelson family." The end. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this work, please consider leaving a comment on the original work for the author.